I think the short message I have will fit in perfectly with what Isaac has preached to you about. It's real, a real blessing having him here as my fellow pastor. We do a lot of praying together. And so this week, it's kind of funny how God can give you a sermon. I've been preaching long enough. I think I know when God gives you one. And so we were praying this week, and an expression Isaac made in one of the prayers just stuck in my heart. And so he said, "Lord, help us to long for heaven and be content on earth." And that really got me. Be long for heaven, be content on earth. So let me give you a few minutes of that. The man who really exemplified both those, I'm going to mention this first, then I'm going to go a little bit about longing for heaven, a little bit about being content on earth. And I think that being content on earth is going to fit in really well with what I talked about being meek, because we can't be content if we're not meek. But anyway, the Apostle Paul had a great desire to go to heaven, but he wanted to stay on earth as long as he had a job to do, and that's how we ought to feel too also. So let's read that from Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 26, I believe it is. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's an amazing statement. And I don't want to take too long each verse, but you got to speak for yourself. Every word there is important. Paul said, "For to me," he wasn't speaking for anybody but himself, "for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You got to ask yourself that question. Is for you to live Christ? If that's true, then to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose or what not." He's kind of in a dilemma here. "For I'm in a strait," that's kind of a tight place. He's having a hard time making his mind up. "I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." That's an amazing statement right there. You know, Paul lived an exciting life. He was a genius. He was multilingual, which I wish I were. I'm not. I wish I'd love to be multilingual, but I'm not. He's just a genius. He traveled all the time. He had a brilliant mind. He had a hard life, but he had a great life. He said, "For to depart and be with Christ is far better, far better." And it's true. It's unspeakably far better. "Nevertheless," he said, "to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." I want to go. I've got a desire to go to heaven, but I want to be content to be on earth as long as I've got something to do that's useful. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." So here again, Paul exemplifies the thought that I had. He was longing for heaven, really longing for heaven, but yet content to be here on earth. Now let's talk just for a minute about longing for heaven. I'm going to give you just two or three verses about longing for heaven. And you know, God got a way of making us long for heaven. He can win us away from this earth. This coronavirus thing may kind of be winning us away from earth. We can fall in love with the world pretty easily if we don't be careful with our sinful nature. Brother Bobby Poe, the man who was ordained with me 53 years ago, he used to make the statement, "Why in the world do sometimes God's children have hardest time in their latter years? They serve the Lord for a long time. They begin to have a lot of health problems, and they have a lot of things that happen to them." And he said, "I believe God winning them from this earth. It's almost like a field of wheat. It just turns golden at the end." And he said, "I believe sometimes God winning." Judy and I walk a lot, and we walk one place, the Galloway Golf Course. It's the reason I walk down there. The neighborhood is absolutely beautiful. And I don't know how it is, those people have those beautiful homes, but they may have a harder time wanting to go to heaven than I do. I don't know. If you had a really beautiful home, a baby like they have, $7 million, I don't know. It might be kind of hard to get winged away. But that's really kind of foolish to say that, because heaven is so much better. But I want us to, we're supposed to long for heaven. God wants us to long for heaven. Let me give you two or three verses on that. The Bible full of this. First of all, look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I just love the good old King James and some of the way that the words are used. Here's what we ought to be doing. He's talking about the end of time there, the context in 2 Peter chapter 3. The context is the end of time. God comes to destroy this world as we know it. But here's what he says. How should we react? Looking for, this is a very strong word, and I like the good old, and hasting. We want to hurry up. Looking for, those are both real strong words. That word looking has that desire of expectation, strong expectation. Looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, that doesn't sound all that great, but look at the next verse. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I personally believe, I didn't talk about the meat shall inherit the earth. I really think that's ultimately what he's talking about. We're going to be in the new heaven and the new earth, the maker of God's children. They will inherit that new heaven and new earth. Let me read those verses to you again. Looking for, that's what, are you looking for today? Looking for and hasting. Do you want to hurry up and happen? As the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements melt with fervent heat. You know, where do you get your confidence today? The stock market, it's going to burn up someday. The Rock of Gibraltar, going to burn up someday. Insurance companies, burn up someday. Technology, burn up someday. All these things will be dissolved. So what are we looking for? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, he gave that promise in Isaiah 66, according to his promise, look for new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Friends, some of these days, God's redeemed children and their glorified bodies are going to be in a glorified environment. It's going to be absolutely, I wish I had time to describe it. It's going to be absolutely amazing. You're going to be a genius, great eyesight, great hearing, glorified body, physical, never get tired, mind not clouded by sin. I can go on and on about this. We're going to have glorified bodies, and we're going to go in a glorified environment. That he have a near word wealth righteousness. Now, this is so important. I want to read to you one verse from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of Revelation. And what we have here is the last promise in the Bible and the last prayer in the Bible. I hope this will become our prayer increasingly as I read this to you. So here we go now, the last promise in the Bible, the last prayer in the Bible. Here's the promise. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's the last promise of the Bible. Do you believe that? He's on his way. I didn't talk about him being on time. He is on time. It seems like a long time to us. God knows when he's going to come. It may be in our lifetime. I hope it is. Many people hope it'll be in our lifetime. Maybe. The world getting so bad, I don't know how to get much worse. It could, I'm sure. But anyway, he's promising us, folks. He's on his way. He's on time. Surely I come quickly. So what's our reaction? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer? I hope it is. So we ought to be heavenly minded, long for heaven. But now, I want to speak on being content to be on earth. And Paul also addressed that, the same Philippian letter in chapter 4. We need to be content. We can be content if we're meek. These two sermons are going to fit in like a hand in a glove, really. If we're not meek, satisfied with God, satisfied with our circumstances, then we cannot be content if we're not meek. If we're meek, we will be content. Now, it's hard to be content. It's something you got to learn. Even Paul had to learn it. He's a brilliant man. He had to learn to be content. And you and I can learn to be content. And listen, I don't know how long this thing's going to go on, but God knows how to exercise our souls. You can't get strong unless you have some kind of resistance. And God may want you to learn contentment. It may be a little bit harder to learn than you think you're going to be, but you can learn contentment, and we're supposed to learn contentment. You can be completely content, folks, if we develop meekness like Isaac talked about. Paul did. He had a real hard life. Isaac read some of the things he went through over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and also in chapter 11. He had a real hard life, but he learned to be content. He learned to be content. He had a human being like we are. He didn't enjoy being in jail. He enjoyed getting beaten. He didn't enjoy the thing that he suffered. But look what he says over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 13. Not that I speak in respect of want. He's referring here to the gift of money the Philippians had sent him. And he said, I'm glad I've got it, but it's not because I just had to have it. That's not really, the reason I'm glad I got it mainly is for your sake, because I know God's going to bless you what you've done. Not that I speak in respect of want. Get this. I've learned, in what sort of state I am, that we be content. Now, folks, that's good for 2020, isn't it? That's good for the United States. That's good for coronavirus. I've learned what sort of state I am there to be content. I know both how to be abased. That's when you're down low. I know how to abound. We may abound. We may receive blessing we cannot imagine. And, you know, it'd be bad if that went to our head, wouldn't it? And we forgot God. Because, listen, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, we can do this on our own, right? Nope, not on our own. How can we do it? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, that's being meek, isn't it? That's relying on God. Isn't that right, Addie? Being meek is relying on God. I can do all things, not in myself. We'll be frustrated. We'll probably get on each other's nerves if we're confined to the house and all that kind of thing. But he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, listen, let me tell you something to kind of help you be thankful. I hope it will be anyway. Listen, folks, I don't know all who I'm talking to. I'm telling you, if I'm not mistaken, everybody I'm talking to has got it made. Listen, we're not in Syria. We're not in a refugee camp for 5 years. We're not in tents that are so thin they don't keep the cold out, and we got a bunch of children that are dying of pneumonia. We don't have meager food. I had a friend of mine who went to jail on what his own fault. He said, I just couldn't even eat that jail food. I just almost threw it up. In fact, let me tell you about my friend. His name is Danny Dowdy. He works for me and my brother. We burn wood in our wood stoves. And old Danny, he's not a drunkard. He's kind of almost a street person. He right now renting a room for $110 a week. And he just out there scrounging, always trying to make money to get in there. The other night, he came to my house about really late at night. He said, Mr. Zach, he called me Mr. Zach, can I borrow an air pump? The place where I'm staying is so bad, the bed bugs are so bad, I got to get up in the night and take a bath to get the bed bugs off of me. I finally went down and brought an air mattress. Can I borrow a pump to put my air mattress up? Have any of y'all that kind of shape? I doubt it. If you are, let me know and I'll buy you an air mattress. Then you can borrow my pump too. You see what I'm talking about? We may not be eating. Now, I'm eating like a king. My wife is, I don't know what she's doing. She's spoiling me. I've been eating like a king. But you know what? I tell you, I'm just going to have to confess to you something. I am so stinking selfish. If I don't get something really good, I don't like it. You know, we eat good all the time. If not real, real good, I've got some spoiled now, Brother Jared. I don't tell Judy about it, but she kind of knows. She got my mind read. This is really, I don't think this is really one of his favorite meals. If I don't eat a gourmet meal almost every time, now that's terrible, isn't it? I can learn to be content. They say we're going to have a kind of a crisis on the meat supply chain. Some of these pork factories are closing down for a while. Well, I may not get to eat pork chops. You think I can survive without pork chops? I can learn, whatever state I am, there to be content. Let me read you another scripture on contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what the Bible says. We brought nothing. This world is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, that's food and clothes, let us be there with content. I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. I hope God doesn't make me do it the hard way, but I hope I can say, God, thank you. I've got food and raiment. I'm going to be content by God's grace. You know, I don't know what God's doing. We've been praying for revival for a long time. This may be one of the ways God's going to send a revival. We Christians are so spoiled that we don't know how spoiled we are. And God does. God loves us. He does not hate his children. He wants the best for his children. He wants them to develop spiritual graces. And this may be one way we're going to learn it. One more scripture on contentment. This is Hebrews 13:5, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. Let your conversation, that's your way of life. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, being covetous is wanting something you hadn't got. That's just a simple definition right here. That's what they're talking about. Let your conversation without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, the people at Grace Chapel know what I'm fixing to say. That's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. The man who wrote the song, How Firm a Foundation, must have known his Greek. Because in the Greek there, in 13:5, when he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, it's a five-fold negative. And it's a five-fold negative. When I was in Nicaragua, I taught that, and those people hadn't gotten over it yet. They're so thrilled just knowing that. Let me read you that last verse of How Firm a Foundation. This man knew his Greek. He got the idea, I've got this. I'm not ever going to leave you. Never, 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 never count it five times. The soul that on Jesus still lean for repose, I will not I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Five times, my dear friends. That's why we can be content. All right, now in closing, I'll read you a definition. This is a definition of what peace is. And this is all kind of the same thing in a way. Like Isaac said, meekness has got lots of different synonyms. It's kind of hard to describe such a wonderful, rich word. This is the word translated peace, eirene, in the New Testament. And J.H. Thayer, who's a great lexicographer, gave this definition of peace. I'm going to read it to you twice, and maybe you can get it. And if you need me to send it to you, I'll send it to you. This is absolutely amazing. I want to be this way. I want to be this way. But I've got to learn to be this way. Peace is a tranquil state of a soul. This is just what you said about meekness. Peace is a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. I got to read that again to you. Maybe two more times. God stumbled over that. This is great. This is great. This is peace. Peace is that tranquil state of soul. Tranquil. Do you have that today? Are you agitated? God, let me have that tranquil state. It's that tranquil state of his soul, assured of his salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and content this earthly lot, or whatever sort that is. One more time. Fits in right exactly what he said about meekness. Fits in right, exactly right. Peace is a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and content with this earthly lot, or whatever sort that is, I want that. My friend, let us long for heaven, be content on earth.